Patrizio, Kaylin, and Sarah. We got DP in the wing here.
Hi.
How's everyone doing today? I can't see.
Really good. Good. Thank you.
Patrizio just hidden behind the screen.
Good, good.
Is anyone else confused about the days of the week?
I'm very confused about the days of the week. Yeah, so I did something I thought, because, you know, I don't host as often anymore, and I was like, oh, it's Valentine's Day, I'm going to find some cool Valentine's Day facts, and I didn't. I found one that was like, what is it? Oh, yeah, Valentine's Day is the second most popular day to order flowers. Do you guys know what's the first most popular day to order flowers?
Mother's Day.
Okay.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Which makes sense, yeah. Okay. So we're going to jump into a rather hot topic over these next few weeks. We're going to be looking at share companies and the recent ways in which accessibility has been brought to the forefront of some of these enterprises' interests. We begin episode one, part one of this series, looking at Airbnb. In the second half of this episode, we will be calling Corey Lee from the very popular accessible travel blog Curb Free with Corey Lee. To open up our topic, I'm going to pass this off to Patrizio.
Hello, dear listeners. So, sharing companies. The disruption of traditional transportation and hospitality services by companies like Uber and Airbnb have created waves and caused different cities and agencies around the world to reevaluate how to regulate the services that these companies offer. So now, I ask the question, what is a sharing economy? Sharing economy is an umbrella term with a range of meanings such as collaborative consumption, collaborative economy, or peer economy. This evolving system allows people who own certain goods, like homes or cars, rent them out to others for a short term when they're not using them. So in other words, it enables people to optimize resources through an effective use of excess capacity. So let's say you have a car. You're going from Port Moody to Vancouver. And then you decide to earn an extra income and you become an Uber driver. Well, that is not happening because there is no Uber in Vancouver, but it's an hypothetical scenario. And an Uber representative goes to your place, checks the vehicle, and then you approve, and you can just utilize that time in which the seats of your car are available to earn some extra bucks. Well, and such transactions are often facilitated via community-based online services, Uber and Airbnb, as I told you before. Airbnb is part of this so-called sharing economy, and in many cases, travelers can save a significant amount of money by staying at an Airbnb host's property rather than at a hotel. Uber is another company that is part of the sharing economy. Drivers use their own vehicles to drive people from one place to another. And despite Uber sometimes lacks regulations and harassment and discrimination scandals, people still love using it and other services like it due to the lower prices and the ease of summoning a car. Let's remember that transit is crucial in providing accessibility mobility options for people with disabilities, which is important to their quality of life. There are many companies that are part of this new economy, but for the purposes of accessible travel, Airbnb and Uber are the most relevant. Last year, Uber faced a class action lawsuit alleging the company was violating the New York human rights laws because it didn't have enough wheelchair accessible cars available for people who need them. This echoes similar concerns that occur with Airbnb before it added a new filter that helps travelers find accommodations that are suitable for those with accessibility needs. Sometimes I wonder, why some of these companies actually wait until people react or when they are pushed by the media. Instead, they should be proactive and anticipate, these gaps that can be bridged. Well, and to end this note, there is a funny fact. When I was looking for sources and information about the sharing economies and its companies, there was a Harvard Business Review article that suggested that the correct word for the sharing economy in the broad sense of the term should be access economy. Why? Well, the article says, when sharing is market mediated, You know, when a company is an intermediary between consumers who don't know each other, it is not longer shit at all, because you're supposed to share a meal without receiving something in return. Rather, in these companies, consumers are paying to access someone else's goods or services. And today, the Accessibility Collective at CITR is talking about the access economy on the Access Pass show. Good combination of words, huh?
Oh, yeah. So we're going to take a break here. When we come back, Kaylin and Patrizio are going to be looking more in depth into the company Airbnb. So don't go anywhere, folks. So with that, we're going to head into a song. This is by Dave Symington and Tamara Nile, Vancouver's own. They're actually from the Vancouver Adaptive Music Society. So enjoy.
You got me singing and a dancing and a laughing and a clapping and a skipping and a jumping, and I think I'm never gonna get enough of you. You're always standing by my side and never let a day go by that you don't make me feel a high and keep on loving me no matter what I seem to do. And a laughing and a clapping and a skipping and a jumping, and I know I'm never gonna get enough of you. And now you're standing by my side, never let a day go by that you don't make me feel a high and keep on loving me no matter what I seem to do. Cause I've been waiting.
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Ugh. Everybody. God, this is awful.
Isn't there anything? Anything? Anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Discorder magazine or check us out online at citr.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody.
Now repeat after me. Bugger off. Bugger off. Sod. Sod. Bloody. Bloody. Now put them all together. Bugger off, you bloody sod. Bugger off, you bloody sod. Okay, you're in.
Let's smash things up.
Every Saturday from noon to 1 p.m., listen to Generation Annihilation on CITR 101.9 FM, UBC Radio in Vancouver.
Seven, eight, nine, rest being alive. I see you in everything. My vocabulary's limited. I don't want to tell it all to you. If I could, would you want me to? Being alive. If I become a piece of dirt, for a dollar can I enter your brain? Being alive. That is quite a bit.
Welcome back to All Access Pass. We're having a giggle fit here in live studio. So you're listening to All Access Pass, and we are CITR's collectively run show that covers issues and topics surrounding equity, inclusion, and accessibility for people with diverse abilities. If you're just tuning in, we cover issues on UBC campus and beyond. Before the break, we talked about share companies and accessibility. One company I think many of you listeners are familiar with is the online community marketplace Airbnb. What is the accessibility situation with Airbnb, Kaylin?
All right, so a recent study conducted by Rutgers University found that Airbnb rentals are limited for individuals with mobility disabilities. These spaces are inaccessible, and the lack of accessibility has little to do with any physical barriers that space might have. For this study, researchers looked at nearly 4,000 accommodation requests submitted between June and November made by people with different types of disabilities. They found that the pre-approval rate at which guests were normally accepted was at 75%, and this was individuals without disabilities. However, those ratings went down when an individual would express that they had a disability, ranging anywhere from a 25 to a 61% acceptance rate, depending on the disability that they had. Some of these hosts were in violation of Airbnb's policies, which others worked hard to accommodate individuals with disability. Airbnb has stated that they are committed to making sure everyone, including people of all abilities, can find and book travel experiences they love. In order to make Airbnb's dream a reality, they have been working with groups and organizations of people with disabilities to make its platform more accessible. Airbnb promised to continue to do more as they seek to meet their goal of building a community that is open and accessible to everyone.
So based on what you've said so far, what has Airbnb done to accommodate travelers with disabilities?
Airbnb recently purchased a company called Accommable, which is essentially Airbnb for disabled people. It was a startup company, which Patricio will talk about later. A purchase like this is quite essential in looking into further success for a billion-dollar empire such as Airbnb. It allows to break into a sector of a marginalized population, and this allows for people from all avenues to use this company while booking a place to stay.
So, I mean, this is just like a personal reflection, but like, when was the study done and when was the purchase of Accommable? Do you know this?
Well, Accommable was purchased in November of 2017. November. And the study was done, I believe, in 2016.
I think it was done June of the same year, maybe. Or was it 2016?
It might have been published in June, but the data was from, I think, April through till November of 2016.
Ah, okay. That was actually carried out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting to think that, like, there isn't that big of a difference in between those things. So, like, while a change like Accommable is coming, I mean, this study obviously reflects that there is a big need that needs to be filled.
Fulfilled, yeah, definitely. Like, it's essential for accessibility options to be available so that people can have access to this resource. And it's so great to be able to have options for accommodation, especially since so many places don't actually have hotels or motels available. So when Airbnb started up, like, it's so good to be able to go to areas that aren't big cities and that don't have those things. And now Airbnb actually has a filters bar, which allows you options so that you can now choose which accommodation you book based on your accessibility needs.
Right.
So the drop-down bar has options for entering the home, getting around the bedroom, referring to how wide the doorway is and how accessible the height of the bed needs to be and all that sort of stuff. So it's essential for inclusivity because it allows people with disability to go on and not have to spend several hours sending emails to different houses and apartments and stuff like that to see if they are accessible. It just allows the accessible options to come up for them.
Right. And I guess these options specifically relate to those with like a physical disability. I'm wondering like what kind of other considerations there'd be in terms of like other disabilities that aren't specifically physical that people might think of. Also, I'm interested to see like, you know, what made those, like what caused Airbnb to make those changes? Was it the buyover from Accommable? But I guess.
Yeah, well, basically, I have some background information. Accommable was founded by Srin Madipalli and Martin Sibley. The site vets submissions from homeowners around the world who want to rent their accessible homes, creating this way a new market strategy by serving an untapped market space, one that targets people with disabilities. Airbnb itself took a huge step towards improving its inventory of accessible properties by recently acquiring Accommable. The company will now add Accommable's 1,100 listings to its existing inventory of homes. And right now, Airbnb counts with more than 4 million homes worldwide. It will also work with Accommable staff to add features so homeowners can detail in their listings whether their homes have stairs or an elevator, doorways, and accessible bathrooms. Some characteristics Kelly was stated before. Also, Airbnb has been trying to train existing homeowners to be more aware of what accessibility really means by working with many different institutions in the United States, such as the California Foundation for Independent Living Centers, in order to help hosts to have a more accurate description and information about all the accessibility features at their listings. All of this, from my perspective, is very promising, but realistically speaking, change will take considerable time because you should start by inside your company. It should be part of your culture, of your employees. It should be part of the DNA of your company because the first consumers, the first customers are your employees and then the ones that are outside. And Airbnb as a leader in its industry, should we continue adding, promoting, and pioneering new practices and standards that foster more inclusiveness and accessibility? Again, in my opinion, I believe the purchase of Accommable was another step that Airbnb is doing with the objective to fulfill their corporate mission, create a world that inspires human connection. They must keep bridging those gaps that are in society.
Well, thank you to Patrizio and Kaylin. I think it'll be interesting, too, seeing as, like, Airbnb is such a large company operating in so many different countries, and certain cities are way more accessible than others. This is something we learned, I think, season two when we brought on Professor Trevor Barnes, if I'm not mistaken, who was an economic...
geography.
Yeah, economic geographer. Yeah.
I took a class with him.
Oh, did you actually?
Yeah, last semester.
He's cool. I know. He's awesome. And he was talking about just like the different accessibility in Seattle versus Vancouver. So even in places like Europe, I know can be very inaccessible. With that, I guess we're going to head into another break here, guys. So this next song is called Dark to Light and Dark Again, and it's by Galen Lea. And Galen Lea is a folk singer, violinist, public speaker, and disability advocate from Minnesota. You may know her from her winning the NPR Tiny Desk contest in 2016. Enjoy.
Bruises and skin and bones, they carry us on our journey home. Day by day, they sustain us in the end. They betray us, but our bodies, they never fully contain us. We rise above that matter which seeks to detain us from the truth, from the love, from each other, from above. It's shaped by those who guide us, take us in, come beside us, for no matter how much we have grown, we cannot do it all on our own. We cannot do it all on our own. We cannot do it all on our own.
Seems so small today. I heard the chilling news. My How do you let my thoughts go out to you and all the mothers who lose their loved ones in the violence too? It's the thought of losing you.
Thirsty for reasons, starving for truth. Well, I know there's more things in store for you. Light in your journey, but it's too dark to see. Your heart is broken, so why not love me? Love through frustration. Love through the pain.
Hi there, you're back with All Access Pass here, and we are here with Corey Lee. Can you say hello?
Hey, how are you guys? It's been a great show so far.
Aw, thank you. I'm just going to put this up. Okay, so with that, we just want to introduce Corey here. So Corey Lee is the leading travel blogger focusing on accessibility. In his blog, Curb Free with Corey Lee, you can find chronicles of his amazing travel adventures, helpful accessibility and accommodation tips, and interviews with other notable disabled individuals who are also in the business of exploring the world. Corey has been featured in Travel Channel, CBS News, Lonely Planet, and the Los Angeles Times, to name a few. Corey is speaking to us over Skype from his home in Georgia State. Hi, Corey.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for that great introduction.
So with that, Sarah, do you want to start with the questions?
Hey, hi. Hello, and happy Valentine's Day, dude.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, too.
I was just wondering, when did you start your blog, Curb Free, with Corey Lee?
I started the blog back in December of 2013, and I really started it because there really, at that time, there really just wasn't a lot of information pertaining to accessible travel online, and I thought that maybe if I could share the experiences that I have already had traveling around the world, then hopefully it could inspire others to travel and inspire other wheelchair users that had never even maybe thought that traveling was possible. And so since then, it's really been like a whirlwind past 4 years. And I mean, as Desi said in the intro, I've gained a little over 50,000 followers, and people like reach out to me daily asking questions. And it's really just fulfilling to be able to do this. And I mean, I love it. I love everything about it.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Awesome. So your blog focuses on accessibility. Can you tell us just some of the things that you've encountered while traveling? I know this is kind of a big, broad question here.
Yeah. I mean, this could last all night, I guess. But if I've got to narrow it down, then I would say, I mean, whenever I'm traveling, really the biggest obstacle, I would say, is air travel. So actually flying and like getting on the plane is always like a really big issue for me. And then like while I'm on the plane, I always wonder, like, will my wheelchair actually make it to the destination,
right,
and still be intact and not damaged? So that's like always in the back of my head whenever I'm flying. And I mean, I know you guys have been talking about the sharing economy, and that's something that I have a little bit of experience in as far as like booking like accommodations goes. But I try to depend more really at this point on like big hotel chains, just because they tend to be more accessible and I don't really have to spend a lot of time scouting out like accessible Airbnbs.
Right.
But I mean, I hope that one day we can get there and it'll be easier to use those sharing platforms.
Right. So for those of you, those that aren't familiar with your blog, what is the specific disability that you travel with?
I have spinal muscular atrophy type 2, and that's a form of muscular dystrophy. So basically it just means that my muscles are much weaker than the average person.
Can I, I was just wondering, do you feel like you're ever targeted for like pickpocketing more than others? Is that a weird question?
If I'm ever targeted for,
do you
what?
Feel
I'm
like, okay, like pickpocketing and things? Because like, because
like, I guess that's a major problem in certain cities.
Yeah.
Yes. So, I actually, my family and I, we were pickpocketed in Paris, and they actually got like over €1,000 from us. And the money was like in my mom's book bag, her backpack on her back. And we just like really didn't see them get it at all. And we were like under the Eiffel Tower,
yeah,
taking photos, and just like having a great time and didn't even notice. But I mean, luckily that's the only major problem that we've had in that case. But we've been pretty lucky so far.
So what are some of the latest places you've traveled to?
Recently I've been to San Francisco and Northern California. I got to go to the Facebook headquarters.
Oh, nice.
Which is really cool. And then last year, in the second half of last year, I went on a cruise to Russia and Finland, Estonia, Sweden, and Denmark. So that was really a awesome couple of weeks, and I got to see a lot of new destinations.
Nice.
Well, what is the most wheelchair-friendly places you've been to then?
The most wheelchair-friendly, I mean, it really, whenever I get asked this question, I always like say, well, where are you wanting to go? And if it's like in the U.S., then I would say like Las Vegas is really good. Washington, D.C. is really good. The metro is completely accessible. But if you're wanting to travel internationally, then like Australia is fantastic, and Sydney especially. All of the transportation was accessible, and the attractions, hotels, restaurants, like everything in Sydney is wheelchair friendly. And then there are also even some places in Europe that maybe you wouldn't think were completely accessible, but they are. So I've had really good luck, and like Helsinki, Finland, they have over 300 wheelchair accessible taxis. Wow. Available, which was really surprising to me, just because I expected there to be a lot of cobblestone and like it not be the most accessible place. But I mean, it's really remarkable what they've done in regards to accessibility in a lot of Europe.
And I mean, kind of the two part of this is, what are some of the least accessible places you visited?
So I would probably say the least accessible place that I've gone to is Paris, France. So not only was I pickpocketed, but we also could only find one wheelchair accessible taxi in the whole city.
Oh my gosh.
And it costs like €650 per day use it. And so it just got like pretty costly, like if you're staying there for a while. But that I went there back in 2011, and supposedly it's gotten a lot better since then. So
I mean, I
think that now there are more accessible taxis, but back in 2011 it was not a very wheelchair friendly place.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
On that note, for our guests in wheelchairs who maybe want to travel more but are hesitant to do so for many reasons, what advice can you give them?
I would say to really, I mean, if you're wanting to travel but you don't want to go far, then start in your own community. Maybe you just go somewhere that's like a couple hours away, and just that'll kind of give you a chance to get the feel of things and what it's like to travel short distances, and then that can better prepare you to travel long haul, and then you can be able, you'll be able to deal with like longer flights and destinations, and really just book the ticket. Like once you book the ticket, like you're gonna go on the trip, so don't be afraid to take that first step and just kind of go for it.
So with you, I know you go on to a variety of places, a bunch of destinations. You mentioned Paris. Like what kind of goes into that in terms of planning, knowing that, you know, certain cities won't be as accessible as others?
Yeah, so it's always really a big risk. But whenever I'm kind of planning a trip, I try to start researching like 6 months or 12 months in advance even. So, I mean, really just start planning the trip out very far in advance, because that gives me a lot more time to kind of research the destination and figure out what's accessible. Are there any accessible taxis, or what hotel can I stay at, and things like that. So no matter where I'm going, I just try to research as far in advance as possible.
So recently, Airbnb, I know, acquired the company Accommable, and I know in your blog you actually interviewed the founder, one of the founders and CEO of Accommable, Suren Madipalli. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah, Suren Madipalli. Yeah.
Did you ever use Accommable in the past?
I have actually not used them, but I mean, I love what they're doing, and we've worked together a few times, and. It's just never, like, they were mostly in Europe and only in select places in the U.S., so the opportunity just never really came about where I was going to be in a city that they were already in, so I never got to use them for pretty much that, only that reason. But, I mean, I love that Airbnb is taking the initiative and working with Accommable now, and they purchased them, so I could not be more thrilled about that. And for Shren, he's a good friend of mine, and I know that he just moved to San Francisco to work at the Airbnb headquarters, so I'm sure that we're going to see a lot of improvements over the next year or so.
So going off your last point, you mentioned that you personally choose not to use Airbnb. Can you kind of expand more on why that is?
Yeah, I mean, in the past, I have tried to use Airbnb to a certain degree. But, I mean, I got on there and started messaging, like, all of the owners of the properties and the accommodations. And I would say, like, is your property wheelchair accessible? And they would say, yes, it is, but it doesn't have any steps. And it just, I would have to ask, okay, well, is there an elevator? Is there a roll-in shower? How wide are the doorways? And then it seemed like the more questions that I asked, that the owners started getting, like, more apprehensive about me staying there. And they didn't really, like, want to do the research to discover if they were the type of accessible that I needed. Because accessible means something different to everyone. So what's accessible for me may not be for someone else. So, I mean, I really just tried to ask a lot of questions, and I think they just didn't really want to fool with all of that.
Right.
Cool. So what are the latest websites, apps, and services that you like to use on your travel adventures?
Yeah, so a really good one is on Facebook. It's called the Accessible Travel Club. And it's basically a group on Facebook that anyone with a disability can join, and you can go in the group and ask any questions about accessible travel. And then another company that's very similar to Accommable and Airbnb is called HanDiscover, and it's like H-A-N-D Discover, so HanDiscover.com, and they're based in Sweden, but they're pretty much the Airbnb of accessible travel, just like Accommable was, but most of their accommodations are in Europe, and so they're not really in the U.S. or in Canada a whole lot yet, but they're constantly getting new properties, and I mean, they're really a fantastic company, and I work for them also. So they're always a good resource as well.
Now, you talk about Airflight. Are there any services or websites or things like that that help with air travel that you look into, that you've looked into or you've used?
Yeah, whenever I'm planning a trip, I always start just by comparing prices on sites like Skyscanner. Skyscanner is probably my favorite, and it just allows you to research the cheapest flights that you can. And so that always kind of gives me an idea of, like, where can I go for a certain amount of money? And then from there, I'll try to figure out what's the most accessible destination that would also be a good value. So I think starting just on, like, the general websites like Skyscanner, TripAdvisor, Priceline, things like that, they can be a good starting point, although you are going to have to do a lot more research after you do find those potential flights.
Awesome.
I just have a question. I was wondering if you have traveled alone or if you generally travel. I know you mentioned your family and your mom, right? Who do you generally travel with?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear your question. It's, like, really quiet.
Oh, the question was, do you usually travel alone? You mentioned that you traveled to Paris with your family.
Yeah, I always do travel with someone. So it's always either, like, my mom or a friend or a caregiver, because I can't really, like, transfer myself out of the wheelchair and into the bed or shower or the plane even. So I do always travel with someone. And I mean, even traveling with more than one person, that's always better. So sometimes I'll travel with like two or three people, and that really just makes it easier for everyone, because then that one person is not stuck doing everything, you know? So, right. Yeah, but I always travel with someone.
Nice. Now, so this episode, our segment here, our theme is kind of like the access economy or share companies. What do you think of the new trend for large companies, especially in the realm of travel, to become more accessible?
Yeah, I mean, I think that companies are certainly starting to see the need to focus on accessibility. I mean, the Open Doors organization a few years ago did a study, and they found out that people with disabilities spend over $13 billion per year just on travel. So that's a huge number. Mm-hmm. And I think that, I mean, all companies want a piece of that money, a part of the pie. I think that just the more that we get out there and we travel the world, then hopefully businesses will start seeing us and seeing us, you know, traveling, and they'll want a part of that. And hopefully they'll become accessible.
Cool. So what kind of feedback have you gotten from people with disabilities from your travel experiences and advices?
So people really, I mean, ever since I started Curb Free with Corey Lee, people message me every day almost, and they'll ask questions about maybe they have a destination in mind that they want to go to, and they want to know how they can get there or what's the easiest places to go. And so I always try to respond to every message, and hopefully we can help people travel to places that they never thought possible. And if anyone is listening and they want information about a destination or going somewhere, then definitely feel free to reach out to me, and I'm happy to help in any way that I can.
Now, I noticed with your blog, you have a section in your blog called Wheelie Cool Interviews or something like that. I'm sorry, it's not on your website right now. Yeah. Where you interview other notable people who also are in the business of travel. How has that been, that kind of like talking to other people who have maybe different disabilities who are also interested in the same thing? Has it been a learning process or?
Yeah, so it's called the Wheelie Inspiring Interview Series.
Okay.
And it's something that I started right after I started the blog, actually. And it's really just in the series, I interview other wheelchair users that have traveled, and I let them kind of share their traveling experiences, because I want to really show my readers that it's not just me out there traveling the world, that there are a ton of other wheelchair users that are out there doing a lot of them doing better things than I am and traveling more than I am. And so I think that just the more that we show that, you know, wheelchair users are out there traveling, then it gives people the confidence to get out there for the first time. And so that series has really been, I mean, it's opened my mind completely to a lot of different destinations that maybe I even never really thought were possible. And I've been able to meet some really cool people along the way in that series.
Sweet. Well, as we end off here, what is in store next for you and your blog?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you again. I'm so sorry.
It's up here. Try. Oh, hi. I was just wondering, what's in store for you next, for you and your blog?
So up next, I'm going to be traveling to Morocco and Spain this April, and I'll be leading my first ever group tour. So anyone that has a disability can go on the tour with me, and we'll be traveling across Morocco. We'll be in Casablanca, Marrakesh, all over the country, and it's going to be the first ever group tour for me. So I'm really excited about that, and I'm hoping to start doing one of those every year. Actually, so if you can't get on this one, then hopefully in 2019 we'll see you in a different country.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. So our last question here, do you have anything else you would like to say to our listeners before we sign off here?
I would say, I mean, if you're thinking about traveling, just make the plunge and do it. Get out there and see the world. And if you have any questions at all for me or want advice or tips, then feel free to reach out on curbfreewithcoreylee.com.
Awesome. Thank you so
much. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So stick around, guys. We'll be right back after the break. This song here that's coming up next is by Kaitami. This is Renegade.
Thank you. you're a member of CITR and Discorder, but are you a true friend?
Get a Friends of CITR and Discorder card for $20 for discounts in Kitsilano and around UBC at
On the Fringe Hair Design, Rufus Guitar Shop, Stormcrow Ale House, The Bike Kitchen, UBC Bookstore, Australia Boot Company, and so many more.
Hi there. We're back on.
Hey, welcome to the day.
Oh, it's just, hi. So, you were just listening to Kaitami's song, Renegade. With that, we're going to play another song here. This is actually a song by Justin Haynes. It's, who's a singer, songwriter from Newmarket, Ontario, so Canada's own. He has Larson syndrome, for which he has a power wheelchair, and he created the Justin Haynes Foundation, that is a charitable organization for people with disabilities. This song is called Why Not Love Me.
Thirsty for reasons, starving for truth. Well, I know there's more things in store for you. Light in your journey, but it's too dark to see. Your heart is broken, so why not love me? Love through frustration, love through the pain. Love for the moon and the stars and the sun, but still love the rain. Why not love me? Tell all your stories to my loving ear, and take away the moments from all that you fear. There's storms at your window, oh, as rough as the sea. Yeah, I could be sheltered, so why not love me? Love through frustration, love through the pain. Love for the moon and the stars and the sun, but still love the rain. Love for the moment, love to be free. Why not love me? Yeah, you're pouring your soul when there's no one around. Yeah, and there's more to find than they already found. Light in your journey, but it's too dark to see. Oh, your heart is broken, so why not love me? Love through frustration, love through the pain. Love for the moon and the stars and the sun, but still love the rain. Why not love me?
Metatron presents Ethereal Shadowland, their first official Vancouver reading. They will be featuring the poignant voices of Metatron and Vancouver-based poets. Come listen to the poetic musings of Adele Barclay, Asia Moore, Ashley Obscura, Brad Casey, Ivana Bezanovsky, Leah Horlick, and Shazia Hafiz Ramji at Paperhound on Tuesday, February 13th at 7 p.m.
Okay, and I think that's it for this episode of All Access Pass.
Thanks again to Corey Lee for talking to us. You can find out more about his travel adventures at www.curbfreewithcoreylee.com or on his Facebook page, www.facebook.com/curbfree.
We will be continuing part two of our segment on share companies not next week, but the week after on February 28th, where we will be investigating the company Uber.
If you're interested in joining our team or think there is an issue we should bring up on our show, please send us an email at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
Remember to like us on All Access Pass Facebook page. If you're on Twitter and Instagram, please follow us at @access_CITR.
And as always, if you missed on any of our live shows or want to listen again, you can listen to our podcast shows on CITR.ca by going on the search box and searching All Access Pass.
Thank you for listening and tuning to our show next week, Wednesday at 4 p.m.
Stick around for Arts Report, which is up next.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
See ya.